Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast. As we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale, please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to be with you this Christmas season. I'm sitting here with Pastor Glenn Davis from up in Folkestone, Georgia. It's always our delight to be able to have dialogue and discussion with him as we think about this Christmas season and what Christmas really means. We'd love to hear from you today. 831-0917 is the telephone number. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion. What does Christmas mean to you? How are you celebrating Christmas? What are some of the favorite names for Jesus as you know them, as you've studied them, as you have seen in the Scripture? Or what questions do you have in relationship to any of the names that's given, ascribed in the Scripture to the Lord Jesus? Pastor, find Isaiah 9:6, and let's talk about it, because there's several names for Jesus in Isaiah 9:6 that I would like for us to touch on for a moment. Then I'm going to ask you to share some of your favorite names for Jesus, and we'll bound those about for our listeners' edification and blessing today.
Amen. Says here, for unto us, that's to the believers, mm-hmm. Amen, that's to the whole world as well. Yes. If you want him as your Savior, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Amen. Each of those names, ladies and gentlemen, are just filled with truth and power. His name shall be called Wonderful. He is Wonderful Counselor. Now, some people, Pastor, misinterpret that verse. They say that he's Wonderful Counselor.
Amen.
You know what it's saying. It's wonderful. That means, if you look at the origin of that, it means supernatural. The Lord Jesus Christ is a supernatural counselor.
Amen.
He is the Mighty God, it says in Isaiah 9:6, the Everlasting Father. And ladies and gentlemen, each of those are terms that's ascribed to God himself. And the Lord Jesus is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And what's the last one there?
The Prince of Peace.
The Prince of
Peace.
Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, without the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Prince of Peace. He is the only one that can provide peace. We live in a world that is not peaceful today. And ultimately, when the Lord Jesus Christ himself returns, he will rule and reign for 1,000 years as the Prince of Peace from his throne in out of Jerusalem. So, ladies and gentlemen, listen, as we talk about today and celebrate this Christmas season, we talk about the names that's ascribed to the Lord Jesus. He's called Emmanuel, God with us, God literally in human form. He is the Lamb of God. The Scripture says it takes away the sin of the world. He is the Passover Lamb, ladies and gentlemen. He is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Pastor, what are some of the names that you are wanting to talk about that are some perhaps your favorite names for the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, the main thing that rings out to me, especially as being, can we say, a sinner saved by grace?
Amen.
He's my Savior.
Amen.
Amen. He is my Savior.
Amen.
And then next, amen, you may not find this written in the Bible just this way, but he's a miracle worker.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, some people still don't believe in miracles today.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But the Bible lets me know with men it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Yes.
And no matter what condition we might find ourselves in today, amen, he's still a miracle working God, mm-hmm. and he's a Savior.
Amen.
So when we think about that word Savior, Dr. Youngblood, if we didn't need a Savior, God wouldn't have sent us one.
That's right.
If the world didn't need a Savior, he wouldn't have sent the world a Savior. Now, when we look at the terrible condition and the chaos that's in the world today, that the socialist, Marxist, leftist, all these people are creating,
mm-hmm.
and it's constantly ongoing. I don't know if it's going to ever be an end,
mm-mm.
because it seems like from day to day, this thing keeps degenerating.
That's right.
And you know, I call some of them degenocrats.
That's right.
because it seems like everything they do is just, it's degenerate in every sense of
right.
the word.
That's right.
But it's senseless in the way that things are going, but God sent us a Savior to save us from situations like this.
Mm-hmm.
So if we trust and believe in his word and know and understand the agenda that his son has to bring us out of this chaotic situation that we are in on today, we ought to learn how to trust and depend on him.
That's right. In fact, in Luke 19:10 says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
And it goes in harmony with what is found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 27. And she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Amen.
Some people will call him, and I've used this from the pulpit many times, some might call him a good teacher, a good prophet, a good preacher, et cetera, but I call him Lord,
Amen.
Savior, master of everything. And that's the way it ought to be in the life of a Christian and those that are listening today.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus, we're talking about the different names for the Lord Jesus. Emmanuel, the Lamb of God, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And ladies and gentlemen, he is called the Living Water.
Amen.
The Living Water. Pastor, if you would be looking up John 4:10, and we'll take our caller. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question. Comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I hope you and Dr. Davis have a wonderful Christmas.
We are thankful for life and breath and health and opportunity to celebrate Christmas and realize that it is the good news that brings great joy to the whole world.
Amen.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up about Steve Gregg on the radio. I listen to him sometimes. I like to pick up what he doesn't get right. He says there will be no thousand-year millennial reign. There will be no rebuilt temple. But Dr. Youngblood, you know, he was born and raised in Southern California, so should we just give him a little slack and say he's from the far, far, far left of Christianity?
He's far left from what would be called biblical Christianity, the centrality of the Scripture. He says there's no hell. He said at one time he believed in a real devil. At one time he believed in a real hell, but he no longer believes that. He says that polygamy is all right because Jesus never said that it wasn't, so there's nothing wrong with it. And I could go on and on and on. I've listened to with great sadness and sorrow that he's on a Christian broadcast network, but nevertheless he is. I don't have the authority to remove him. If I did, he wouldn't be on this afternoon. It is amazing what people will say in detriment to the Scripture and detriment to Christianity. This is the reason we want people to understand as we talk about Scripture, as we talk about the world events, we do so based on a biblical worldview. And having a central biblicist worldview, we look at everything through the prism of the Word of God. Tom, let me put you on the spot for a moment. What can you go back in reflection of what you would consider a unique Christmas or an unusual Christmas or perhaps the most blessed Christmas that you can recall just for a simple word of testimony for our listeners?
Dr. Youngblood, I would say this upcoming is going to be the best. My son and his wife live with me, and my grandson, you know, I'm teaching him to fly, and he's about to solo. And God's just really bestowed a lot of peace, joy, and prosperity on me and my family. So I've seen a lot of turmoil and strife in my life. I had a stepfather like yours. He wanted to kill everybody in the house when he had a couple of drinks. But I'm really looking forward to this Christmas. I really am.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm thankful to hear that, Brother Tom, and want to wish for you and for your entire family a blessed Merry Christmas. And thank you so much for you joining us today. God bless you.
Dr. Youngblood, if I could, I'd like to say, you ask about what is your favorite name for Christ.
Yes.
And mine is the Lion of Judah.
All right.
Because it seems like if you have a manger scene and you make, they all want to make Jesus a little helpless baby, and he doesn't have, so why should you worship him? He doesn't really know anything. He doesn't have any strength. But they always leave out what he's going to do when he comes back.
Amen.
And to me, that's what is the best part, because he's going to rule and reign. And all of this evil, this wicked that you bring up that we're suffering through now, that will be gone, because it says he will rule the nations with an iron rod.
Amen.
And so that's really what I'm looking for, is living for eternity with Jesus Christ as our ruler and Savior. I got where I carry a copy of the Ten Commandments on my seat next to me, and I like to look at them. And I just don't think it's that hard to live with the Ten Commandments. And I just rejoice that we're going to live in a world without all this confusion and this propaganda and these statements that aren't correct. We're going to live in the truth. And I know both of you gentlemen are lovers of the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
So, I'm looking at that text, by the way, Tom, in Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals." And that's in the Revelation 5 text, where there's a search all over heaven and all over earth to find the one that had the that was worthy to open the seals on the seven sealed scroll as it's being opened up in the Revelation text. And Jesus Christ is the only one that was found to be worthy. And that word worthy there means to have the power, the authority. And he is called there the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And it indicates there also, as you spoke of, where he's going to rule the world with an iron, as a iron. And he is going to judge the wicked and the evil in the world, as he's doing today. But I like that term, as you said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It indicates his background, his roots from the human perspective, and at the same time, his authority over this old world. Tom, thank you so much for your call, for your input. Keep praying, and again, have a Merry Christmas for you and for your family. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We'd love to hear from you. What's your favorite name for Jesus in the Scripture? And why is it the favorite name, as you would call it, for the Lord Jesus Christ? This Christmas, as we celebrate Christmas, how are you celebrating Christmas? What is the most unique Christmas you've celebrated? What is the most unusual Christmas that you have celebrated? That telephone is 831-0917. Love to hear from you. We're here today with Pastor Davis, and we're talking about the names of Jesus. And we have called this broadcast today the good news to all people, simply because the Scripture is very, very clear in Luke 2:10-11. And the angel said unto the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And I pray that you would recognize Jesus Christ as Savior today. Also, we see not only is the Emmanuel, he is the Lamb of God, he is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, he's the Living Water.
Amen.
What does that text say there in John 4:10?
Amen. Word says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
Amen. Jesus Christ is living water. He is the light of the world. He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Ladies and gentlemen, he is all in all, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, if we've said yes to him as Savior. I believe we have Mike on the line. Go ahead, Mike, with your question or comment, please.
Hey, how you guys doing, Dr. Youngblood? And I forgot the other gentleman's name, but hello to you, too.
Very blessed. Thank you.
I just had a question. I heard you say earlier that you didn't think that it was possible for Jesus to sin, and I've had this discussion with people before, and I just don't understand how it makes sense when it says that he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And it just seems to me that it even makes it all the more of his worthiness that if he actually could have sinned, but yet throughout his entire life didn't sin. So anyway, that's my question. Is that
Mike, hang on, let's talk about that for a moment, because you're referring to he was tempted in all points, when as well, yet without sin. It goes back to, I believe it's Hebrews 4:15, left page, right column in my Bible, if I recall correctly. Tempted is the Greek word periosmos. That word periosmos can be translated test, try, trials, tempt, temptation. Any one of those five words comes from periosmos. The context dictates what it is saying. And when it says tempted in all points is the Greek text pontateon. That means by way of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Years ago, there was a pastor that's nationally, internationally known that was preaching on the radio, and he said, as he's preaching to his congregation, and he was trying to encourage them, that many of you are tempted to smoke or to drink or to curse or to drink, et cetera, et cetera. So that goes into all of the details. He said, I've got good news for you. Jesus was tempted in all points wherein as you are, but he did not sin. That's exactly a lie, biblically speaking, because it's an impossibility. Here's the point. Can God be tempted with sin? Can God be tempted with anything that is immoral, unholy, ungodly, and is wrong? The answer to that's no. Then you answer the question, who is Jesus? Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 35, the angel is explaining to Mary that she's going to have a son. His name is Jesus. She's wondering in a quandary and anxiousness, how can this be so? I've never known a man. In other words, she's not had sexual relationships with a male. And the scripture then in that 35th verse, if I can paraphrase it, simply says, the Holy Spirit of God's going to brood over the womb of Mary, impregnating Mary's womb with Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is God, and God cannot be tempted. The scripture says Jesus is high, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. The scripture says that Jesus did no sin, had no sin, and listen to this, and could do no sin. So when you look at the text in Matthew's Gospel, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 11, which is his temptation in the wilderness, and in the midst of the temptation, in the midst of the trial, he was tempted. How do I know it was a trial? In Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, the 12th verse, it says that the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. That is the word tested. And I'll use this illustration, Mike. The testing that was taking place was Jesus Christ was sent into the wilderness 40 days, 40 nights without food. In his humanity, he was being tested. In the midst of that test, Satan comes along and says, I'm going to tempt you. Same word now, periosmos. So in the midst of the test, Satan was trying to tempt Jesus to do that which would thwart the plan of God for Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Good example that I've used many, many, many times, and I used it in my book, Could Jesus Sin? The Doctrine of the Impeccability of Christ, in 224 pages and major study on that. But when a jet airplane is manufactured, they take that jet airplane, put a pilot in that plane, a test pilot. He taxis that plane out on the tarmac, takes it off. He goes to all of the heights that it will go, the dives, the spins, the stall outs, the climbs. What is a plane tested for? To prove that it will do what it was created to do. Jesus Christ was tested in his humanity to prove that he is deity shrouded in humanity and that he could not sin. That's the essence of it. And I just gave you a thumbnail sketch of Could Jesus Sin, 224 pages, with about 100 plus illustrations from the scripture in validating that point. So I'm not saying that you are wrong. I'm just simply saying that look at it from the perspective of who Jesus Christ is. He is God come in the flesh. We celebrate Christmas celebrating the fact that God came into the world in the form of man, and that man is Jesus Christ. He is sinless. He cannot sin. It's an impossibility for him to be tempted to sin. Now, for you and for me, we're human beings. We have Adam's blood. It's Adamic blood in our veins. It's the fallen, sin-tainted blood. And so, therefore, we as human beings can be tempted to do that which is wrong. Jesus Christ did not have man's blood. Adam's blood did not flow in Jesus' veins. In fact, in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says that the blood that was shed on the cross was God's blood. God's blood cannot be tempted. If his blood, the blood in Christ, if it were not God's blood, it would not be efficacious to cover our sins. So no one can be saved by trusting in Christ. Had Satan had his way when he was tempting Jesus Christ to bow to him and not to serve God the Father, as the Holy Spirit had driven him in the wilderness to do. Mike, thank you so much, brother. Pray that you'll have a Merry Christmas, a blessed Christmas. Looking forward to what God's going to do as we serve him. Thank you so much for your call
today. All right. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, the Lamb of God, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the living water, the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
I like that text in John 14:6, Pastor. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say a way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by, that's the little Greek word dia, that's the access, the avenue, but by me.
Amen.
He is also called in Revelation 22:16, Jesus is called the morning star. In Luke 1:47, in Luke 2:11, John 4:42, and 1 John 4:14, he is called Savior. In Isaiah 9:6, he's called the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you once again, in the world today, we live in a world that is churning, a world that is not peaceful, a world without peace. But Jesus Christ made the commitment in the scripture. When he left, he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. When Jesus Christ left this world, physically speaking, he said that he was going to send he would be the one that could bring peace that no one else could bring. In fact, Pastor, look that up for us in John 14, I believe it's about verse 27.
Amen.
John 14, about verse 27. Check Amen. That out for us.
He says here, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, this Christmas, listen, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, according to the scripture. He is also the light of the world. We live in a darkened world. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. In fact, in that place called heaven, according to Revelation chapter 21 and 22, that place called heaven, there'll be no need for the sun or the moon to shine, because the sun, the S-O-N of God, will be there, and he will be the light for all of eternity. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is called God, John 1:1 and verses 14 through 18. He is called the Holy One. In Mark chapter 1, verse 24, he is called Master, Savior, Matthew chapter 8, verse 19. He is called the Just One, Pastor, in Acts chapter 7, verse 52. You spoke of it earlier, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
Amen.
In Revelation 5:5. He is called the Resurrection and the Life. Read for us, Pastor, John 11:25, the resurrection and the life.
Amen. He said here, Jesus saith unto her, going back up to 23, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Amen. I don't know about the listener, Pastor, but that's a comforting, encouraging verse.
Amen.
We know that because Jesus Christ is the first fruit from the grave, that we're going to rise again. He made that commitment and that promise in the scripture. He is the resurrection and the life. And there's an Old Testament text, Job 19:25, that refers to the coming Savior, the Lord Jesus, as being Redeemer. And one of the texts, ladies and gentlemen, that I enjoy so much, Pastor, he is called the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega.
Amen.
And as I put it, he is the beginning and the end and everything in between.
Amen.
It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one that holds this whole world together, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 18. I call it that he is the divine superglue. Now, that name is not found in the scripture. That's the Youngblood translation of that.
Amen.
In the text. He is the divine superglue. He holds this world together. Pastor, we've got a couple of minutes. Talk about some of the ones that you find that are the most comforting, encouraging names for Jesus.
Amen. Well, if we go to Revelation 1 and 8, it says he is the Almighty.
Amen.
If we go to John 6:35, it says he's the bread of life.
Amen.
If we go to 1 Peter 5:4, he's the chief shepherd.
Yes.
If we go to Hebrews 1:6, he is the first begotten.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to Psalms 16:10, he is the Holy One. If we go to Daniel 9:25, he is Messiah, the Prince. If we go to 1 Corinthians 15:45, he is the quickening spirit. If we go to Job 19:25, he is the Redeemer. If we go to 2 Corinthians 9:15, he is the unspeakable gift.
Amen.
And if we go to John 15:5, he is the true vine.
Amen.
Amen. So I just thank God for all of those names.
Yes.
Because he is that and more to us.
And he is the chief cornerstone. And
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I close with this. If he is the chief cornerstone, that means he is the one that holds up the very foundation of our lives, the chief cornerstone. He is the eternal Father. He is our high priest. And ladies and gentlemen, who is Jesus Christ to you today? The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be good news that brings great joy to all people. And so this Christmas, it is my prayer, our prayer, that you're going to celebrate Christmas by knowing Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues. And Merry Christmas.
Amen.
To all of our listeners.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.